everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Green Room Podcast, where I interview a range of professionals to discuss their experience on how high school students should start working towards their future.
No one is going to hand you a movie to make and realizing, oh, I see how this works. The only way you can really get the material is if you control the material. And the only way you can control the material is if you create the material.
Join with me today, I have Todd Phillips, an incredible director, producer, and screenwriter.
First, could you just give me a little bit of background about yourself and explain to my audience who you are?
Sure. My name is Todd Phillips, and I am a writer and a director primarily, working in the movie business. I've made movies that some of you were, well, you're probably too young to know, like comedies like Old School and The Hangover, all those Hangover movies and Due Date. And most recently, last year, around this time, we put out Joker that I wrote and directed.
Yeah, that was incredible. It was really,
really
good.
Thank you, Maxine.
So first, we're going to just start with some high school questions.
Cool.
What advice would you give to high school students that are trying to be a part of this industry and get started?
Well, it's an interesting time. Let's talk as if COVID isn't a thing, because that's changed everything in some ways, but I do believe we're going to get past it. So I do think as young people entering the business, in some ways it's easier than ever, and in some ways it's harder. And why it's easier is because you have access via the internet and access via your iPhone to practically movie studio quality filmmaking in your hands. You know, we didn't have that when I was younger. And the information you can get on the internet and the research you could do on a subject or on screenplays. You could read old screenplays. It was impossible when I was in high school to get a screenplay for a movie from the 1970s. Now you can find any screenplay, you know. And why it's harder, I think, for kids nowadays is for the same exact reason. Because of that access that everybody has, you have so many more people interested in it. You know, when I went on to film school, I went to NYU film school, there was a lot less kids than I would imagine are now trying to get into film school. My point being, I wasn't the best student, but my grades were enough to get me into NYU film school. I have a feeling today you'd need a lot better grades than I did to get into NYU, because so many more kids are interested in it.
Mm-hmm. So, like, when you were in high school, were you aware of what you wanted to do when you were older?
I was, but I mean, that shouldn't discourage most people, because I think 95% of the kids that I went to high school with didn't know what they wanted to do. And that makes a lot of sense looking back. I just happened to always love movies, be interested in the movie business. I started in high school with photography as a way, because again, we didn't have iPhone cameras and things like that. I didn't have a movie camera at home or a video camera. So I started doing, you know, nonverbal communication, you'd call it photography, a way of expressing yourself through photos. But yeah, at a pretty young age, I knew I wanted to direct films, write films. So, but I think that's rare. And I think, you know, I knew plenty of kids in college that didn't know what they wanted to do either in college. So, yeah.
Well, my next question was, like, if so, can you tell my audience how, like, on the contrast, it's okay to know what you, it's okay to not know what you.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I almost think it's better if you're in high school to not know. There could be things you're interested in. You could be in 11th grade right now thinking, I want to be a film director, or I want to be an actor. But I think it's actually better to not really know, because there's so many things you're going to expose yourself to more if you don't know. I sort of had tunnel vision. So I was only doing this one thing, and I was only interested in this one thing. But if I had been a little more open-minded, I don't know what I would have discovered and fallen into. So I think the not that you're asking me for advice, but the one piece of advice I would give to kids in high school right now, kids even younger and kids even a little older, is just be really open-minded, because, you know, what you like right now at 17 might not be what you will like at 27, and certainly not at 37. So things change, and I think it's most important to go into your life with an open mind and an open heart and just be like, it's all a process of discovery.
Mm-hmm. So how did you know you just wanted to like focus on this one particular thing? Like nothing else was around it. This was your...
Yeah, I'm kind of stubborn in that way and kind of like I get tunnel vision in that way. So I saw a movie that you definitely won't know when I was younger at a friend's house. His dad had a VHS tape. That's how old I am. And it was a movie called Gimme Shelter. And it was a documentary about the band, the Rolling Stones. And in this documentary, it was really interestingly made in that they went into the editing room of the documentary. The filmmaker showed the band footage in the editing room. And I had never seen an editing room. I never really understood how movies were made. And from when I saw that, I realized that's what I want to do. I didn't even know what editors did or directors did at that time. I mean, I'm talking like 12 years old. And that was the first time I had a peek inside. And again, it goes back to my first point about nowadays, if you're 17, you kind of know what all these things are just because you're exposed to so much on the internet. And you could go and listen to commentary on DVDs by filmmakers or actors. None of this existed when I was younger. I'm glad it didn't, because I would have been even more tunnel visioned and soaked more of that in, you know?
Well, on that topic, say you're like starting your career in 2020, would you still want to direct movies because social media is such a big portion in our lives today?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I think I have nephews and nieces that are more like your age. And what I noticed with kids your age is you guys have thicker skin. And I think you have thicker skin because of social media and I don't have thick skin. And to be honest with you, looking back, I probably wouldn't, because it's such a, my worst part about the process of making films or is the public aspect of it. But there's something about being exposed publicly that is now that is something that happens in 2020 a lot, that, you know, and your movies being dissected and everything you say being dissected on the internet and social media, like you said, that I'm not a fan of. So part of me just doesn't have thick enough skin. It's too late now. I'm in it and I just roll with it and life goes on. But it is something to be aware of. I don't know how you guys deal with that.
Yeah, it's tough.
How do you? I'll ask you a question. How do you deal with that?
I mean, I'm kind of self-aware and more confident in myself, which other kids are just not at all. So I'm lucky enough to just, whatever people say that I don't like to hear, just I don't think it, that it's true. So I push it aside.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's good parenting.
Yeah. Okay, so do you think that is the most difficult part of the movie industry is kind of the public aspect?
No, I mean, I think it's the thing I struggle with personally the most, but no, I mean, it's a hard job. It sounds fun to a lot of people, but there's a lot of, difficulty to it. For me personally, the hard part is that every time you put a movie out, you're basically, for lack of a better word, you know, you're naked. It's you, you're putting it out. And if this doesn't work, it's on your shoulders. And if it does work, it's on your shoulder, but there's just a lot of stress, you know? Mm-hmm. But the good part is, you meet and work with the smartest people in the world. I should say the most creative people in the world. They're not necessarily the smartest, but the most creative, whether it's a costume designer or a cinematographer. And of course the actors, you go to work every day knowing you're going to be challenged by people equally, if not more creative than you, with equally, if not better ideas than you have. And you never really know how the day is going to go. I looking back, I could never have been a lawyer or a doctor even. And well, doctor's a bad example, but you know, where it feels like, okay, day in, day out, I'm doing the same thing. There's an unknown quality to making movies and creating content that is the juice and the excitement of it that I really thrive on.
So how do you just like keep it moving from... I mean, your movies are incredible, from movie to movie, and Like, have you ever been, like, stumped for a couple of years?
Oh, God, yeah. All the time. I mean, you know, you struggle with ideas and you struggle, you know, the hardest part. And this is, I should speak, go back to when you said, you know, kids that want to get into it, what would be the advice? I'd say for anyone that doesn't have really insane connections into the movie business, that the thing you have to work hardest at is writing. Writing is where it all starts. And the only reason I got to be a director was because I wrote all the movies I directed. No one is going to hand you a movie out of film school and say, oh, here's a great script, go make this. Why would they give it to me? So you have to write it, and you write from what you know, you write from what, if it's a comedy, you write from what you think is funny. But yeah, that's a struggle. And it seems to an outsider like you, meaning looking at what I do, like, oh, you're always putting out movies, and it's always, there's a lot of time in between and a lot of struggle to put it together. You know, even with the successes I've had, it's always like a new mountain to climb, and you're always starting with the blank page. But yeah, if I was to go back, you didn't ask me this, but if I was to go back and give myself advice in entering it, I would say start writing sooner. You know, if I was, I didn't write in high school. I didn't really write till after college. I wish I started writing in high school, because it's like anything else, you get better and better at it as you do more of it. So that's where I would start.
That was a question of mine. But,
oh, sorry. You know,
it's good. It's fine. So what did you study at NY Tisch School?
So at NYU Film School, I went to the film school and basically studied filmmaking. And it was really, again, because it was so foreign to me, you know, the age I went, because, again, we didn't have the internet and those things. It was all new to me. So I studied screenwriting, and I studied cinematography, and I studied editing. And generally, you know, you can't really study directing. Directing is something you just learn. It's not a technical craft the way cinematography is or editing. Directing is more of a vibe and a feeling. But it's something you learn by doing at film school. So for me, not everybody needs to go to film school that wants to be again, I'm just talking about being a director or a writer or a producer. Certainly you don't have to go to film school. But for me, it was really, really a big, big benefit. And I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm. So going to college in such a big city, did that like help you kind of working towards meeting other people and writing the scripts?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, more so the first part, not so much the writing, but any school, I think, is the most important thing I got out of film school wasn't all those classes I just told you. It was the connections and the friendships I made, and the people that we'd work on each other's short films, and we'd become, you know, crew members for this guy, and then they'd be crew members for me, and she would work on my movie and I would work on her movie. So it was those friendships and quite frankly professional relationships, what they turn into. I still know people I went to film school with, and I still work with some people, or will send my script to somebody that I really loved in film school, and they'll read it and I'll read theirs. Those connections, I think that's really what college is ultimately about, even if it's not film school. I mean, I think, you know, whatever you end up going to college for, the thing you're going to remember most 10 years after college are the friendships and the quote unquote connections you made.
Mm-hmm. So kind of what sparked your like big break? Like, what was your motivation into beginning to write scripts instead of like waiting for it to happen?
Yeah, well, it was coming to a realization pretty early on that no one is going to hand you a movie to make, and realizing, oh, I see how this works. The only way you can really get the material is if you control the material. And the only way you can control the material is if you create the material. So pretty early on for me, but you know, 2026 really is when I started really writing. So it was, again, after film school, certainly after high school. And that's why I say I wished I had started earlier, just because it's a craft you have to work at. And of course, I'm still working at it. And I'm still sitting here procrastinating every day when I should be writing.
Yeah, I took a screenwriting class this summer, and it was really challenging to write a script.
Yeah.
like, what's your process on getting it done and kind of putting the images in your head onto a script?
Well, the thing that's a really good question. And again, I think people have different processes. I know a million writers and we all have different ways of doing it. But for me, the way that worked best, and I wish you would have called me and I would have told you this, is outlining, really outlining it really thoroughly. I mean, I'll spend 2 months on an outline before I've even written any dialogue or any script. So I know exactly what the first act is. I know what the turn in the second act is. I know what the low point of the second half of the second act is. It's all about outlining for me. And then once that outline is done, then I can sit down. I kind of know my characters, in my head. And then you start writing it and fleshing it out. But it's brutal. It's not fun.
Yeah, it was really challenging.
Did you have any breakthroughs? The thing that's great about screenwriting is when you have these little breakthroughs, you have these moments of like, oh, I know what'll solve that, or mm-hmm. I know what to do there. And that's what makes it fun. But as a thing, it's a lonely job. You're alone in your room and you're just doing it and it's tough. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to write about things that haven't happened to you. Like what I wrote about was like experience that I've seen. How do you just like imagine something? Like how is?
Well, no, I think it's really important what you just said. And while you can write in high school and you can write in college, you're right in that you do need to have lived a little to write, mm-hmm. And so, because so much of writing is writing what you know and experiences. So it's also important to live, if that makes sense. And so what I did in college was I couldn't just write out of the gate. So I started by doing, I don't know if I told you this or if you know by looking it up, I made 3 documentaries before I started writing scripts. And the documentaries, in a weird way, were a way of me throwing myself into experiences that I would never have had outside of making a film on them. And in some regard, it was like living life on fast forward. It was like getting all this experience in and then knowing I'd probably use it later in life. So you're right. It's important. It's hard when you're 17. You go, well, I don't really know what to say. I don't have a lot to say. I haven't really, particularly, you haven't had that many. I mean, everybody's had hardships, but you probably haven't had that many hardships and struggle. So yeah, it's a really smart observation by you when you're just sitting there going, well, they tell you to write what you know or write what your life experience is, but haven't had much. So that's something that will come in over time for sure.
Mm-hmm. So where did the idea of the Joker kind of spark in your head? And well, I know, like, how did you get involved in helping kind of create this movie?
Well, I had the idea, obviously superhero movies or comic book films are everything in the last 10 years at least. And it had never been something that I was particularly interested in because they always seem to, and they're great, but they kind of seem to follow a formula. And I thought maybe there's a way to do it differently. And maybe there's a way to do more of a deep dive character study as opposed to a big action-packed movie that a lot of them are, and a spectacle. I thought maybe if you turn it on its head and do it the exact opposite way, a real character study. So it came from that, and then I pitched it to Warner Brothers, where I work a lot, and they liked the idea and said, go write it. And that's where I was faced with another mountain, and I wrote it with my friend Scott Silver, and it took us a year and a half to write it, but it was a horrible process, but fun.
Wow. Okay. So for my last question and thoughts, do you have any more last words to give students, kind of a push from someone who's as successful as you are on starting them off on the right track?
Well, I think you actually gave the best advice to me 10 minutes ago when you said you just sort of ignore all the nonsense. You're confident enough in yourself. That is an amazing thing to be at 17. And I think if you could harness that confidence, and if you could cut out all the noise that is constantly coming in, particularly now, particularly for young people via social media and all these other avenues, You just need to learn to block out the noise and really believe in yourself. And I didn't do it when I was 17. It would have been hard for me. But hearing you say it, I was like, wow, that's amazing. And that would be my advice.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, Maxine.
It will be great to hear. And
you got it. All right, take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Say hi to everybody.
I will. Thank you.
Bye.
Once again, I would like to thank Todd Phillips for joining me today. What was really inspiring was how much time and focus he put into getting to where he is today. Thank you all for listening, and make sure to check out my first episode of the Green Room Podcast, and always stay tuned for more.